Well, hello and welcome to the Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. My guest today, very nice young man, hardworking, and stays very, very busy. Welcome to the studio, Jake Medford.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, Jake, you grew up here in Jersey, still are in Jersey, right?
Yep.
And who's your mom and dad?
My mom would be Trish, used to be Vancho, and then Greg Medford.
Okay. And your grandpa?
Yep, Ron.
Here. Yeah, we'll get Ron. And so you kind of work under Ron?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yep, over there at Medford still.
Yeah. Been doing that for a while, right?
17 years, something like that. Started when I was a sophomore in high school.
Now, are you the oldest grandchild?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Okay. All right. Did you like being the oldest? You seem like you...
I guess so. I didn't really have any other option, but, you know, I do okay with it.
Yeah.
You know?
You're married, and you have a couple kids. What's your wife's name?
Samantha.
How about your children?
And then I have Emerson. She's 2 and a half right now, and then Noah. He's about 3 months old.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. Emerson and Noah. Now, Emerson's a little girl, right?
Yeah, little girl.
Yeah, little girl. And so you graduated high school, and then where off to after high school?
I went straight down to Lewis and Clark. Didn't really know what I was going to do at Lewis and Clark. I just knew, you know, maybe some general stuff, and then decided to do the business path, and I figured that's probably the most...
That's a good pass for Medford.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What they do. They go into business. Yeah.
So I did a little communication, marketing, stuff like that, and just kind of got a associate's degree right around that, and then moved on to Bellevue University. So
yeah. So out of what was your first job?
At Medford's.
At Medford's?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, even after you got out of college?
Yep. I stayed there the entire time.
And still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, never left. And you kind of work out of the station there on Highway 16.
Yeah.
East of town, right?
Yep.
And what goes on there? I know you can get gas there and get diesel there, and I see the big tanks there, but kind of explain what else goes on there.
So that one is... It kind of deceives your eyes because you pass by, you don't really know what it is. But anyone can get fuel there 24 hours a day. And then the biggest thing we do is we haul a lot of fuel. I mean, we haul fuel from really down Fairview Heights all the way north to Jacksonville. And we're hauling to state locations. We're hauling to farmers, construction crews, anything you can imagine. We're hauling there too. And then... the other thing we're getting ready to really pour a lot more into is the bulk oil delivery. So we got a truck right now that's getting pumps put on it for bulk delivery on that. We've done it before, but not had a real good system for doing it.
Bulk oil. Who gets bulk oil?
So anyone, like farmers, actually get that quite a bit. Some, you know, your... auto mechanics, you know, dealerships, stuff like that are going through quite a bit of oil in a day. And we've got some machine shops, all that.
I mean, because I think about oil, I think, I got to change my truck or my car. I got 5 quarts every 3 months or something.
Right.
But how are they going through a lot of oil?
So a lot of them will take, right now, a lot of our customers are 55-gallon drums or 330-gallon totes.
Yeah.
But we're getting ready to put a system in that we can deliver, 1,000 gallons at a time if need be, you know, or a little less, a little more, it don't matter, and multiple products. And that's what people want is the hydraulic oils, the diesel oil, the 1540, all that stuff. And then DEF would be the other thing that we're doing is that, DEF fluid that all the diesel engines need now. So we're going to have that coming out on our truck as well.
Yeah, well, you got to have that DEF, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you guys still do bicycles there?
We do.
We
still have the bikes. The bike shop's still there.
Yeah.
We sell a few bikes here and there, but the bike shop does stay going pretty good, and people are bringing in their stuff. And
you do the Schwinn bicycles, so right? Or well, do you other bicycles too?
We do still have some Schwinns, but we mainly focus on GT and Eastern now.
Okay.
Schwinn, a few years ago, they decided they didn't want to make a good bike, you know, as well anymore. So we steered away from that, and we have a few good ones left in stock, but GT is...
What separates your bikes... You know, because you're selling a few, they're better bikes. But what's really separates them from a bike you might get from a big box store?
So the biggest difference is where they're made. You know,
okay.
Most of the ones you get at a box store are from Pacific Cycle, and what it is, they use cheaper components, cheaper parts. Anything about it is just cheaply made. They're wanting to sell at a price point. You know,
are they made in America?
No.
Okay.
No, not and. I really don't know of any bike brands that are really made in America. There's, don't get me wrong, there's a few left, but they're more of your premier brands that you're paying a pretty price for. But the ones we're selling, unfortunately, are still made overseas, but they're actually higher or better components on them, parts, all that, that they last a lot longer. You can get, you know, 5, 10, 15 years out of a good bike if you, you know, treat it right. And that's what we've been known for. We don't want to sell junk. So, mm-hmm. you know, we've been known when brands get cheap and they don't sell, we stop carrying them because we don't want that.
Yeah, you mentioned something before we came on the air about in 2020, you sold a bunch of bikes.
Oh, we sold everything we had.
Yeah.
All of them.
Like a couple hundred bikes
or
something?
Yeah, we went through. It was unbelievable. We always had a large inventory of bikes. We, you know, we always did. And then when COVID hit, all the gyms shut down. And it was unreal. It was like when I first started, you know, because we were selling quite a few when I first started. You know?
Yeah.
And then I think in 2020, we went through, a couple hundred of them that just flew out the door. And it was amazing, you know, to see all that.
Okay. Now, so you worked... at Medford's Oil.
Right.
You also were involved in the Church of Christ.
Right.
Yes. And you're a preacher at the Church of Christ. And I had the privilege, a couple weeks ago, Brendan and I went to your church, and it was very nice.
Well, thank you.
Yes, it was very nice. But tell us a little bit how you, because you grew up Catholic.
Right.
You know, went to St. Francis or Holy Ghost and Catholic Church, And how did you end up at the Church of Christ?
So it's kind of a long story, but
make it short.
Here it is. I always had an interest in history. Really. Uh-huh. I mean, really that's where it comes from. I had an interest in history and study. And for me personally, there was some things that I just couldn't get over. And so what I wanted to do was kind of look into it. I wanted to basically challenge my thinking. You know, I was raised this and I was always taught this, but I wanted to see, okay, what do other people say? Why are there so many different beliefs? And so
many different churches.
There's so many.
Yeah.
Like 43,000 different denominations.
Right.
It's mind blowing. So what I did was I went on a search and I was like, okay, why is the faith that I believe in, why do I think that's correct? And so I was just asking questions. I was just being sincere, asking questions. And
so you go to different churches?
Yeah, I did. I went on a little trip and I went to different ones in town and was studying basically belief systems. And over time, you know, I kind of gave up the search, but, you know, I was with the Goldenrod Project. I had a volunteer that came on board and she was a member of the church and challenged me. She was like, you know, why do you think this? And I was like, okay, well, you know, what is this? And so I had a bunch of questions. I went and talked to them at the church. And every question that I asked was given, I was given a verse in the Bible. And everyone I had asked before that, they were telling me stories or, you know, their version of it. But these guys were just giving me Bible verses. And they said, this is why we do this. I'm like, I was like, well, you know, I can respect that.
Right.
I see that's, you know, that's where Jesus is at. I can see that. I understand that. That's where the Bible's at. That's where you are. So I ended up being, you know, became a Christian there at the church, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow what the Bible teaches, and it sounds kind of plain, but that's what it is.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Jake Medford with us. He's a pretty busy guy, and he's also a preacher at Church of Christ. And so, how long ago was it that you first got up in front of on the pulpit and preached to everybody?
It's been 7 years now.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was the church was needing a preacher. We were in the search. We were in search mode for a preacher. And they said, hey, you know, you've done a bunch of radio interviews and TV interviews for the Showboat. Do you think you can put together a lesson? I'm like, I don't think that qualifies a person to preach. But they go, well, you've studied a lot. I go, yeah. So it was May of, I don't remember what year, it was 7 years ago. And I got up and preached, and I was like,
you kind of liked it.
Well, at first I was like, how many times am I going to do this? And they're like, well, until we find a preacher. And
they never did. They quit looking.
They quit looking. So I've been doing it ever since, and I love it.
Oh, good.
I do. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I can tell. You do a great job.
Well, thank you.
You do. You're very good at it. Okay, now you mentioned the Goldenrod, all right?
Yeah.
So tell us about that. Goldenrod was a big showboat.
Right.
In St. Louis. All right? Yeah. And what was your connection with that?
So it was in St. Louis until I think 89, then 90 when it moved to St. Charles, and then
I went to a show on that before.
Did you?
Yeah, years ago, a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah. They had a lot of cool stuff on there, but it ended up in Campsville.
How did it get to Campsville?
It in 2001, the Coast Guard actually shut it down. They said the hull was in disrepair; it needed some stuff done. The city of St. Charles said, "We're not fixing it," and so they had a agreement with Pool 24 Tug in Campsville for some mooring. And so they just, it was basically in storage up there. You know, that's where we're going
to store.
So
they hauled it to Campsville just
hauled
to store.
Hauled it to Campsville.
Just
and then
tied
they,
it up
yep, and
on
then,
the bank.
Then they forgot it and then said, it's, you know, we'll just leave it up there. And
until flood takes it away.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the couple of guys in Campsville, I mean, wonderful guys, and they took care of it for a long time. The guys over at Pool 24, and they took care of it for a long time. And then we came along and said, "Hey,
who's we?"
Well, it was me and Steve DeBellis. He was a historian from St. Louis.
Okay.
My friend Tyler, and then they, you know, the nonprofit was already formed before we joined, but we were like, "Hey, can we do something with this? We would like to, you know, it's historical. It was built in 1909. It's older than the Titanic."
Really?
I mean, when you put that in perspective, you're like, man, this thing's older than the Titanic.
It's still floating.
It's still floating. It's in Campsville, Illinois. What's happening with it? So it's like, we got to do something with this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such an interesting piece of history. And so the goal was to get it out of Campsville back on the riverfront somewhere. We were thinking St. Charles, St. Louis, you know, somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And that never happened.
But you were going to rebuild it?
Thinking of rebuilding it. We had a couple discussions with the city of St. Louis, St. Louis Development Corporation. We've talked to, I mean, anyone, you name it, we've talked to them. You know, we got the History Museum involved. We had a lot of people working with it. But ultimately, there wasn't enough energy behind it to take it all the way. And then we had a flood, I think it was 2014 or 15, that it moved, the showboat got moved and it landed on a log, and then they were saying, well, it's never going to move again. And so we decided, well, we'll take all the interior pieces out. After they said that thing will never move again, we said, okay, we'll take all the interior pieces out. We'll preserve that, and then maybe down the road, either rebuild it or, you know, move these pieces into a museum. And well, the Goldenrod caught fire in 2017, and we are actually, as of last month, we actually had the Missouri History Museum here with us in person and went through all of the collection. And so we're talking to them, the Mercantile Library, and also the Transportation Museum on getting the collection moved to
what's in the collection?
Anything you can imagine. So not only do we have documents, photos, we have these humongous mirrors, anything that was in the boat itself.
Oh, okay.
I mean, humongous. I mean,
oh, stuff. I remember it. It was gaudy.
Yeah, it was filled.
Yeah, I mean, it was fancy. Yeah. Full of stuff. And I mean, it was
all these old wooden pieces and chandeliers. There was a chandelier from the old St. Louis courthouse. And that ended up in there. I don't even know how the old owner got it there, but he acquired it somehow. And but there's a lot of just stuff you just wouldn't imagine.
Mm-hmm. So you saved all this stuff.
Yeah, we have it.
And it's safe. You got it stored somewhere, and then you're trying to distribute it out.
Yeah, now it's getting dispersed.
Museums or
right. Whoever and so we're working with a few different people to take it, make sure it's going to be put on display, make sure it's going to be preserved and restored correctly. And so that's the effort we're doing right now. And we had that first meeting here last month. So we're in the process of moving it out.
So you're running Medford's Oil,
yep.
Right? And you're a preacher at the Church of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Now the Goldenrod is behind you. What else? You do anything else? You got any other...
Well, you know, I'm looking for a full-time job. No, I'm not busy enough.
No, clearly. I know you're busy.
So, no, that's it. I mean, you know, with being a parent and a husband and then,
oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of moving parts with me. And but yeah, being a preacher is quite a bit. Working at Medford's full-time is it's a blessing. I get to work here in town around people that I know and... It's just a
well. Here's what I'm going to ask you over the air. I would like for you, if you would, to now. I went to your church. I enjoyed it.
Right.
It was very nice. Very welcoming. You know. Give your pitch to anybody listening. You know, like what's your pitch to visit your Church of Christ on Sunday at 10 o'clock?
It's. I would say if you're looking for something that is just straightforward that. This is what the Bible says. This is where the Bible's at. That's what we do. I mean, and it just sounds so simple because so many people say, well, we teach what the Bible teaches, but when it comes down to it, there's a lot of other influences in there. And with the Church of Christ, it's a little different. You know, it's study focused, study based, and we want to do and be genuine with mm-hmm. it, that we're honest people that, you know, hey, if we're wrong, we want to correct it. And that's one thing that was impressive to me that these people would, hey, if I'm wrong, let's fix it.
And you sing a lot in church.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all a cappella.
Yeah.
Because if you look at history, that's how the church was when it was created. You know, it was all a cappella.
Uh-huh.
And that wasn't added for, you know, 800 years after, you know, Christ. So, you know, it's just kind of going back to the roots. Uh-huh. You know, I always tell people if you take the Catholic Church and undo any decision that was made to change and you go back all the way to the original, that's your Church of Christ.
Okay.
And it's actually called Church of Christ in the Bible. So
right,
it's just kind of reverting back to the original.
Yes. And you have Bible study on Wednesday nights, right?
Right.
Tell me about that. What happens there? Who's welcome to there?
Anyone. I mean, anyone, any person, anywhere you are in life. It doesn't matter because, I mean, there's some people that you know, have got life figured out. Some people don't have a clue. And you know, I've been in that point in my life where I didn't have a clue what was going on. And sometimes you just need
what direction. Happens at Bible study? How do you do that?
It's we lay a Bible on a table. We sit in the kitchen.
In the kitchen?
Yeah, we have a kitchen out there. We just sit in the kitchen area, uh-huh. the dining area.
How many
we
people?
We sit around. It's usually 20.
Oh, really?
Somewhere,
that many?
You know, it's a simple thing.
Yeah.
And we just sit around and we talk. This is what the Bible says. This is, you know, and we make an application. I mean, we just sit around and open that Bible up and
pick out a verse and talk about it.
We talk.
Yeah.
Right now we're in James chapter 5 and we're going to discuss all that, but we just kind of go through verse by verse and talk about it. How do we apply this to our lives? How do we become better for it? And just try to learn anything we can.
Yes. Years ago, I was involved in a Bible study, and that's the way we did it too.
Yeah,
and it's,
I think it's the best way you can do it.
Yeah, right. Well, Jake, we've run out of time. Any last messages that you want to throw out there? Anything?
I can't really think of one. I mean, you know, come
fuel
visit
up
us.
At Medford's.
Fuel up at Medford's. Come see us at the Church of Christ. Other than that, you know,
all right.
Love to see people. So
yes. Well, thanks for coming in, and take care.
It's an honor.